Church, if you can open your Bibles with me here to Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 48. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 to 48. And I'm going to be reading from ESV. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even Gentiles do the same? You, therefore, must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Amen. You may be seated, church. I want to just take a few minutes here tonight and just continue sort of the things in my heart the things that have really been convicting me about the Word of God. And I feel like the more I read through the Gospels and the more I read through Matthew and then I hear and I read the teachings of Jesus, every single time I feel like I read it again, it just cuts me a little bit deeper and a little bit deeper and a little bit deeper. Last time I talked about what it means to be a sheep and not a goat, about Jesus separating those two pretty starkly. And here I'm visiting another parable, or another, not really a parable, but another teaching of Jesus that's really easy to read but very difficult to apply. And I know we've all heard this so many times, and love your enemies, love your enemies, love your enemies. We talk about it all the time. We hear it preached all the time. But my job is not to impart some amazing new revelation that God just gave me. My job here tonight is I just want to remind us of this word that Jesus spoke in its simplicity, in its practicality. And I want to challenge us to see how we can apply that in our daily life and how we can go from here. And really, if we really want to be followers and disciples of Jesus, how can we take this and make it a part of, how can I take this and make this a part of my life tomorrow? There's a song that we sang last Sunday and a song that's been stuck in my head all week, all week, all week, all week. O kreštem jubirja in inima mia. And it's a song that I've been listening to a lot. And there's a verse in that song that says, O creștem iubirea cu rodul sfințit, chiar numai de ură de aș fi răsplătit, să nu pot Iisuse trăi fără ea, o creștem iubirea în inima mea. Doamne, ajută-ne for our love to grow in such a way that even when we're scorned, despised, hated, that we respond with love. And that sort of inspired my message and my reminder for us in this passage here. Love your enemies. A basic tenet, something we learn in Sunday school, something we encourage our brothers and sisters with, a basic tenet of Christianity, but something that's so, so, so difficult to live out. Because although Jesus calls us to it, my flesh wants to do the exact opposite. When Jesus was talking to these people about loving your enemies, he was talking to the Jews who understood what he was referring to. You know, the Jews understood the love your neighbors part because that was actually in the law of God. If we look in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 18, we see the law of God stated as follows. You shall not take vengeance or bear grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So when Jesus was talking about these things, he was saying, you've heard all these things. You shall love your neighbor. But he addresses a key point that we in our human nature, that the Jews in their human nature added on, tacked on to the law of God, which says, Jesus said, you heard that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemies. You see, the Bible doesn't really explicitly go through and say, you shall hate your enemies. The Bible says we should hate what God hates. The Bible says we should hate sin. But God never says you should hate your enemies. You see, the reason why God commands us to love our neighbors is because God is the ultimate example of love. God showed faithfulness to his people, the Israelites, even though they didn't deserve it and even though they didn't deserve to be loved so many times. And we all know God chose to give his unmerited, unending love to Israel based on a covenant he made with their forefathers, with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because love is part of God's nature. God desires and he loves to love people that don't merit it. So if we really understood that, we would understand that we need to understand the love of God. You see, the Jews took this passage to mean, yes, okay, I'll love my own flesh and blood. I'll love the people around me, the people that look like me, the people that talk like me. But this gives me permission to hate my enemies. And that couldn't be further from the truth. Because if God hates them, then I can hate them too. If God can destroy them, I can destroy them too. But the Bible clearly states in so many ways, and even in the book of the law later on in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 35, that vengeance belongs to the Lord God. Vengeance and hatred is not mine to give. It's for God to judge. Because, you know, we're all created in the image of God. We all have an inherent desire in our hearts for justice. We long to see the day when God is going to sit on his throne and make the right things right and name the wrong things wrong. Because let's face it, we live in a world today where good is bad and bad is good. And we all have this inherent God-given desire for justice. But in order for us to judge, in order for you to judge something accurately, we need to have a standard by which to judge, correct? If your standard is faulty, then you can't judge rightly, which is why our standard is the infallible, inerrant, unfaulty word of God. And here comes Jesus. Now he's telling us to take it a step further. Don't just love your neighbors, the people around you, the people that look like you, talk like you, even believe like you, but also love your enemies and pray for those people who persecute you. Because it's so easy to love our friends. It's easy to love our brothers. It's easy to come to church and to shake hands with everybody that's here. But let's face it, it's a little bit harder to shake the hands of somebody you know has beef with you or has something against you, right? Now, this begs the question, and I want to kind of dive into this a little bit, but who is this neighbor when Jesus says, love your neighbors? Who is this neighbor that he's talking about? Now, in Luke 10, we have a very interesting story. We have a story where a lawyer comes up to Jesus. It's very interesting that a lawyer comes up to Jesus to try to trick him into saying something that he probably shouldn't. comes to Jesus and puts, the Bible says, tries to put Jesus to the test. And he says, Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And we all know the story. Jesus says, well, what's written in the law? You tell me. The lawyer says, love God with all your heart, soul, strength, mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus says, okay, do it, essentially. But the Bible says the lawyer, desiring to justify himself, tells Jesus and tries to catch him and says, well, who is my neighbor? And if we all read the word of God in continuation, that's where Jesus goes into the parable of the Good Samaritan. Our neighbor can sometimes be a Samaritan. Now, you all know the fight and the turmoil that existed between Jews and Samaritans, right? Jesus was saying this in a time and in a situation where there was open hostility between Jews and Samaritans. Because Jews and Samaritans had deeply different religious and theological disagreements. You see, Jews and Samaritans were essentially rivals. Samaritans, for example, believed that the only true place to worship God was on this mountain called Mount Gerizim, while the Jews believed that the only place to really truly worship God was at the temple. In addition to that, you know, theological disagreements, you know, the Jews also believed in the word of God, the Torah, and the words of the prophets also written, whereas the Samaritans only believed in the books of the Torah, and that's it. Ethnically, Samaritans were also kind of considered what you would call half-Jews. You see, during the reign of the Assyrians, when the Assyrian emperor came and conquered Israel and took Israel to be, people of Israel to be exiled, a lot of people, the people that remained in Israel, actually intermarried with a lot of the population that was there, a lot of foreign people, and that created this ethnic group called Samaritans. So you can see how these two ethnic groups had really strong disagreements, and they just fought each other constantly, so much so that they avoided each other. They would not even pass through their own land. They would go around just to avoid people, avoid each other. But Jesus is saying here in this parable that your neighbor can be a Samaritan. Because the idea is that when we see humankind, humans left and right, as created in the image of God, when we see ourselves as his creation, me, you, the person walking down the street, the person at school, the person at work, our response should be to love as God loves, because God loves his creation. God calls us to hate sin, but God calls us to love people. Loving someone does not mean we have to necessarily agree with them. We don't have to agree with the way that they do life. We don't have to agree with the things that they do, with the things that they say. But the way that we can show, and this is where I want to kind of go from here, is one of the ways that we can show love to our neighbors and love to those around us is to not be ashamed to tell them the truth. Because true love is rooted in speaking the truth, right? Proverbs 27 verses 5 and 6 says this: better an open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the words of the friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. You know, even in the church, there are disputes, people that didn't see things eye to eye. We look at the New Testament, and even the apostles and the disciples fought about things. They fought about circumcision. They fought about who's going to travel with who and how are we going to go, how are we going to minister to this place. And they fought tooth and nail sometimes. And if we really cared about the lost and the people around us, I think, church, that, and I'm taking this for myself too, is that we should be more vocal about our faith in Jesus Christ. That we should see people around us, people that are lost, as created in the image of God, that God loves the people that he created in this world, and God has a plan of salvation for them. And sometimes that plan of salvation starts with us and starts with our testimony. It reminds me of a story, and it's an example of my mom actually told me this story. It was a story of her own life. She was working at a factory on the line, you know, as many people have done. And there used to be this lady, the supervisor, that really gave her a really hard time, just a really, really hard time. She would look at her sometimes with disgust, sometimes with scorn. My mom tells us she'd be working hard. And this person would just look at her and she'd be like, "You need to go faster, faster, faster. Why are you so slow?" My mom, Saraka, working a job, sometimes two jobs at the time, you know, was working really hard, but she would just pray. And she would just respond with love. And she would respond with kindness. And she would just smile. And it didn't take very long where that person saw the love of Jesus in her heart and on her face and in her eyes. And a few years later, she came to her and said, "Felicia, you know what? I'm a believer now because I saw the love of Jesus on your face. Because you didn't respond with hatred, you didn't respond with disappointment, with scorn, but you responded in love and treated her with the love of Jesus." And so, church, my reminder for us here tonight, and with this, I'm gonna wrap up. If we can have the worship team come up, we're gonna go into a song, and then I'd love to close with a prayer and each kind of look into our own hearts and see where we're at. But I want to challenge us all that as we go through our daily lives, that we see the people that we interact with as made in the image of God. People need to hear the words of Jesus. People need salvation. And no matter what we go through, no matter what situation, let's learn to love. Not necessarily to agree, but to love and treat people with the love that Jesus has showed us first. How can we show love? We can treat people with respect. We can treat people with dignity. We can show genuine interest and try to understand people. And maybe you felt a little bit like me when I read this passage and was like, "Lord, I need a heart transplant because sometimes I don't really see people like you see them." It's time for us to draw the line in the sand, church, and be the hands and feet of Jesus and go out into this world. Because that's what it's all about. It's not enough for us to come here on church and to just pat ourselves on the back, shake hands with each other and say, "God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister." Go to events, have all these events, have youth outings, have great worship, great Sunday school, feel good. "All right, guys, time to go back and come back next Sunday, happy." That's not enough, church. It's time for us to go into the world and make disciples. Let's draw that line in the sand, and let's be a church that's after Jesus' heart. Amen.